जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जयाद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जयाद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जयाद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जयाद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जयाद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु की जय श्री गौर प्रेमा महोत्सव की जय जगत गुरुदेव श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय दिस मॉर्निंग वी विल रीड फ्रॉम श्री चैतन्य चरितामृतम द मोस्ट एग्जॉल्टेड ऑफ ऑल द लिटरेचर्स ऑन द ग्लोरीज ऑफ श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु श्री चैतन्य प्रभु वंदे यत्पादाश्रय वीर्यतः संगृह्णात्याकर व्रताद Agnya Siddhanta Sarmanim. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By the potency of the shelter of his lotus feet, even a fool can collect the valuable jewels of conclusive truth from the minds of the revealed scriptures. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. All glories to Lord Chaitanya. All glories to Lord Nityananda. All glories to Advaita Chandra, and all glories to the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. In Chaitanya Charitamritam, in the beginning of this book, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, the author, has composed his Mangalacharana in several verses. We could read those verses, if you like. I'll read the English only, just to save time. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the spiritual masters, the devotees of the Lord's incarnations, his plenary portions, his energies, and the primeval Lord himself, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who are like the sun and the moon. They have arisen simultaneously on the horizon of Gaura, Bengal, to dissipate the darkness of ignorance, and what thus wonderfully bestow benediction upon all. What the Upanishads describe as the impersonal Brahman is but the effulgence of his body, and the Lord known as the Supersoul is but his localized plenary portion. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, full with six opulences. He is the absolute truth, and no other truth is greater than or equal to him. May that Lord, who is known as the son of Srimati Shachi Devi, be transcendentally situated in the innermost chambers of your heart. Resplendent with the radiance of molten gold, he has appeared in the age of Kali by his causeless mercy to bestow what no other incarnation ever offered before, the most sublime and radiant spiritual knowledge of the mellow taste of his service. The loving affairs of Sri Radha and Krishna are transcendental manifestations of the Lord's internal pleasure-giving potency. Although Radha and Krishna are one in their identity, they separated themselves eternally. Now, these two transcendental identities have again united in the form of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. I bow down to him who has manifested himself with the sentiment and complexion of Srimati Radharani, although he is Krishna himself. Desiring to understand the glory of Radharani's love, the wonderful qualities in him that she alone realizes through her love, the happiness she feels when she realizes the sweetness of his love, the Supreme Lord, Hari, richly endowed with her emotions, appears from the womb of Srimati Shachi Devi, as the moon appears from the ocean. Those are the verses of the Mangalacharana that deal with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I thought it would be nice to read chapter 3 of the Adi Lila, which dilates on the third of those verses, very deep, deep verse written by Rupa Goswami and included in his drama, the Vidagdha Madhava. That verse is, Anarpita charim chirat kuranayavatirna kalau samarpayata munvatodjvalarasam sabhakti shriyam harihi purara sundara dyutikadamba sandipitaha sadahradaya kandare spuratu vahshachi nandanaha. May that Lord, who is known as the son of Srimati Shachi Devi, be transcendentally situated in the innermost core of your heart. Resplendent with the radiance of molten gold, he has descended in the age of Kali by his causeless mercy to bestow what no incarnation has ever offered before, the most elevated mellow of devotional service, the mellow of conjugal love. And Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes, I have given the purport of the now, our devotees, please listen to the meaning of the fourth verse with full attention. This is actually the fourth verse of Mangalacharna. Lord Krishna, this is his explanation. Lord Krishna, the son of the king of Raja, is the supreme Lord. He eternally enjoys transcendental pastimes in his eternal abode, Goloka, which includes Vrajatam. Purport by Srila Prabhupada, his divine grace. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki.
Jai.
Gaur Purnima ki.
Jai.
Gaur Bhaktavrinda ki.
Jai.
In the previous chapter, it has been established that Krishna, the son of Rajendra, the king of Raja, is the supreme personality of God and full with six opulences. He eternally enjoys transcendentally variegated opulences on his planet, which is known as Goloka. Goloka in English means what? Cow world. He's named his own abode after his most beloved devotees, the sweet cows of Vrindavan. So we're talking about Gopal here, and now then we will talk about Gaura Gopal. The eternal pastimes of the Lord in the spiritual planet Krishna Loka, it's also known as Goloka, are called aprakarta, or unmanifest pastimes. This is in the spiritual world. We know that Krishna has his pastimes in how many worlds? Infinite worlds, all the worlds. Krishna is performing his lilas. But in the Vaikuntha realm, in the spiritual sky, those pastimes are going to a place called Goloka or Krishna Loka, and they're called aprakarta because they're not manifest here in this world. It's not that they don't have manifestation. They are manifested, but they're manifested not in this world, but in that world. So they're called aprakarta from our vantage point. There's always two ways to see things. You can see things from the devotee's view, or you can see things from Krishna's view. In fact, that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to come in this age. He wanted to see things from the devotee's view. Radharani, that we'll discuss. Anyway, so those pastimes in Krishna Loka are aprakata, and the pastimes that the Lord performs here in this world are called prakata. Actually, in the Chaitanya Chandramrita of... it's Chaitanya Chandrodayanatak of Kavi Karnapur. He says there that the Lord's pastimes performed in this world, that is his prakata lila, his manifest pastimes, are even more sweet than those that go on in Goloka. Why? Because here you have real opposition, not just play opposition. In the spiritual world, they play at fighting, and they play at that there being demons. There's a sense like that. But there are no demons in the spiritual world. To get real live demons, you have to come here. So Krishna likes to come here and play with them, in exactly the same way that a cat will play with a mouse. So similarly, there is no Bala Lila in the spiritual realm. That's only happening here. Because the Lord, there's no birth in the spiritual world. But when he appears in this world, the Lord appears to take birth, and he appears to grow up, and all these things have a certain sweetness to them. So all these things give pleasure to the Supreme Lord, such that Kavi Karnapur says that he actually enjoys the pastimes in this world more than those in Goloka. So they're called Aprakrita pastimes there because they are beyond the purview of the conditioned souls. Everyone please turn off cell phones and other such gadgets. Lord Krishna is always present everywhere, but when he is not present before our eyes, he is said to be Aprakrita or unmanifested. Now we get into a description of the Lord's schedule here. Once, in a day of Brahma, he descends to this world to manifest his transcendental pastimes. Those are the Prakrita Leelas. It's once every day. Once a day, but not our day, in Brahma's day. We know that there are four ages or yugas, namely Satya, Treta, Dwapara, and Kali. These four together comprise one Divya Yuga. A cycle of four yugas is called a Divya Yuga. 71 Divya Yugas constitute one Manvantara, that is the reign of a particular Manu, an administrator of this world, cosmic manifestation. There are 14 Manvantaras in one day of Brahma. This is all described in Bhagavad Gita. The present Manu, who is the seventh Manu, is called Vivaswata, the son of Vivaswan. He is the sun god's son. 27 Divya Yugas, that is 27 times 4,320,000 solar years of his age has now passed. So there are 14 Manus, and we are in the 7th Manu, and 27 Divya Yugas have now passed. At the end of the Dwapara Yuga of the 28th Divya Yuga, Lord Krishna appears on earth with the full paraphernalia of his eternal Vrajadham. There's a purport here. Now is the term of Vaivaswata Manu, during which Lord Chaitanya appears. First, Lord Krishna appears at the close of the Dwapara Yuga of the 28th Divya Yuga. And then Lord Chaitanya appears in the Kali Yuga of the same Divya Yuga. Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya appear once each day of Brahma, or once in 14 Manvantaras, each of 71 Divya Yugas in duration. From the beginning of Brahma's day of 4,320,000,000 years, six Manus appear and disappear before Lord Krishna appears. Thus, 1,975,320,000 years of the day of Brahma elapse before the appearance of Lord Krishna. He doesn't come that much, in other words. Let's go on to changing the topic now. Servitude, friendship, parental affection, and conjugal love are the four transcendental mellows. By devotees who cherish those four mellows, Lord Krishna is subdued. Prabhupada writes here to explain. Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Sringar are the transcendental modes of loving service to the Lord. Shantarasa, or the neutral stage, is not mentioned in this verse because, although in Shantarasa one considers the absolute truth, the sublime great, one does not go beyond that conception. Shantarasa is a very grand idea for materialistic philosophers, but such idealistic appreciation is only the beginning. It is the lowest among the relationships in the spiritual world. Shantarasa is not given much importance because as soon as there is slight understanding between the knower and the known, active, loving, transcendental reciprocations and exchanges begin. Dasyarasa is the basic relationship between Krishna and his devotees. Therefore, this verse considers Dasya the first stage of transcendental devotional service. Let's consider this for a moment. In the material world, those things which are considered highest are considered to be lowest in the spiritual world, and vice versa. Those things that are very high in this material world are not very much valuable in the spiritual world. In this material world, the highest thing that you can attain is Brahman realization, which takes you out of this material world. So that's, therefore, the Brahmanas, those who know Brahman, they're considered to be the highest caste in a worldly sense. See, The Kshatriyas are considered less, the Vaishyas less, the Shudras less, the outcasts even worse. See, but in the spiritual world, it works, everything is going the opposite way. So, beginning from the point of tabula rasa, neutrality, Brahman realization, shunya, zero, mere existence, that is Shantarasa. When we add the principle of transcendental variegatedness, and especially the appreciate the principle of servitude to the Lord, active interchange, personal exchange between the Lord and the devotee, then dasya is the first step. When dasya becomes more intimate, then sakya, friendship, develops. When friendship is even more intimate than friendship is vatsalya, that is parental affection. And even more intense than that affection is madhurya, conjugal love. So the very thing that is the most despicable thing in material existence is the very highest thing in spiritual existence. But this is a transcendental thing that's very difficult to understand. So our benefactor, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, is explaining it very carefully. Now we're back in the spiritual world. Absorbed in such transcendental love, Lord Krishna enjoys in Vraja with his devoted servants, friends, parents, and conjugal lovers. Prabhupada writes in the purport, the descent of Sri Krishna, the absolute personality of Godhead, is very purposeful. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that one who knows the truth about Lord Krishna's descent and his various activities is at once liberated and does not have to fall again to the existence of birth and death after he leaves the present material body. In other words, one who factually understands Krishna makes his life perfect. Imperfect life is realized in material existence, in five different relationships we share with everyone within the material world. Neutrality, servitorship, friendship, filial love, and amorous love. These five enjoyable relationships within the material world are perverted reflections of relations with the Absolute Personality of Godhead and the transcendental nature. That absolute personality, Sri Krishna, descends to revive the five eternally existing relationships. Thus he manifests his transcendental pastimes in Vraja so that people may be attracted into that sphere of activities and leave aside their imitation relations with the mundane. In other words, conjugal love in this world is abominable because it's a perverted reflection of the real love that we have with Krishna. And the same thing goes for the other rasas. Parental affection in this world is not so exalted as that in the spiritual world. Friendship, servitude, etc. So after fully exhibiting all such activities, then the Lord disappears. Lord Krishna enjoys his transcendental pastimes as long as he wishes. Then he disappears. After disappearing, however, he thinks thus. For a long time I have not bestowed unalloyed loving service to me upon the inhabitants of that world. Without such loving attachment, the existence of the material world is useless. There's a very meaningful purport here, short, in one sentence. Prabhupada says just about everything. He says, the Lord seldom awards pure transcendental love, but without such pure love of God, freed from fruitive activities and empiric speculation, one cannot attain perfection in life. The next verse, everywhere in the world, people worship me, this is Krishna thinking, according to scriptural injunctions, but simply by following such regulative principles, one cannot attain the loving sentiments of the devotees of Vrajabhumi. That is the intimacy of friendship, parental affection, conjugal love. Just by following Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti according to the rules and regulations of ordinary, just by being religious, in other words, one cannot actually get those wonderful sentiments that carry us beyond this material world. That by comparison with which all the perverse reflections of it within this world pale. So Krishna continues thinking, knowing my opulences, the whole world looks upon me with awe and veneration, but devotion made feeble by such reverence does not attract me. By performing such regulated devotional service in awe and veneration, one may go to Vaikuntha or attain the four kinds of liberation. These liberations are achieving opulences equal to those of the Lord, having a form the same as the Lord's, being a personal associate of the Lord, or living on a Vaikuntha planet, spiritual planet. Devotees never accept Sayujya, however, since that is oneness with Brahman. Just as Shantarasa is not considered to be a transcendental rasa, really, in terms of devotional service, in the same way the Sayujya Mukti that goes along with it is not very much valued. So Krishna continues to think, I shall personally inaugurate the religion of the age, Nam Sankirtana, the congregational chanting of the holy name. I shall make the world dance in ecstasy, realizing the four mellows of loving devotional service. I shall accept the role of a devotee, and I shall teach devotional service by practicing it myself. Unless one practices devotional service himself, he cannot teach it to others. This conclusion is indeed confirmed throughout the Gita and the Bhagavatam. And he quotes those relevant verses that I'm going to skip. My plenary portions can establish the principles of religion for each age. No one but me, however, can bestow the kind of loving service performed by the residents of Vrindavan. This is a very fine point to consider. Narayana can come, and we know that Lord Chaitanya only comes in those yugas that Krishna himself appears, once in a day of Brahma. In other Kali Yugas, who is it who comes? Kalki comes at the end of Kali. But the Yuga Dharma, who is going to promulgate the Yuga Dharma in every Kali Yuga if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't come in every Kali Yuga? And some other incarnation will come, but not Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So there are two distinct purposes: to reestablish ordinary religious practice and to vanquish those who are obstructing it within this world. That is the general purpose for which God comes to this world. We know from chapter 4 of Bhagavad Gita, this is stated very clearly. But the purpose of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although it coincides with the time of the Yuga Avatar, who will preach Sankirtana in the Kali Yuga, it's not his primary purpose. His real purpose is to share this intimate love of Godhead that is experienced by the Vrijavasis, the residents of Vrindavan. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami now quotes a verse from Bilva Mangala Thakur, and this is still in the mind of Lord Krishna, who is thinking this. Santu avatara bahavaha pankajanabhasya sarvado bhadraha Krishna ranya kovalatasu api premado bhavati. There may be many all auspicious incarnations of the personality of Godhead, but who other than Lord Krishna can bestow love of God upon the surrendered souls? Therefore, Krishna thinks, in the company of my devotees I shall appear on earth and perform various colorful pastimes. Thinking like this, the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna himself, descended at Nadia early in the age of Kali. Thus the lion-like Lord Chaitanya has appeared in Navadvip. He has the shoulders of a lion, the powers of the lion, and the loud voice of a lion. And according to astrological calculations, his rising sign was also the lion, Leo. And sun and moon both. Very powerful signs in anyone's jyotish, anyone's chart. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's position. Simha Lagna. May that lion be seated in the core of the heart of every living being. Thus, with his resounding roar, may he drive away one's elephantine vices. There's a nice metaphor used here. In the jungle, the elephants are big, fearsome animals for us, but as soon as they hear the lion's roar, they flee in fear, because a lion can take down an elephant. And I don't know, has anyone ever here heard a lion roar? They say that you can hear it in the wild, even 4 or 5 miles away. That's how, and it's a terrifying sound. So all the animals flee. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was considered to be Simha here, Chaitanya Simha. In his early pastimes, he's known as Vishvambhara, because he floods the world with the nectar of devotion and thus saves the living beings. The verbal root dubrin, which is the root of the word Vishvambhara, indicates nourishing and maintaining. He, Lord Chaitanya, nourishes and maintains the three worlds by distributing love of God. This is another distinction here. The ordinary Vishnu incarnation will sustain these worlds by promulgating dharma, because actually it is not food that sustains us, nor shelter, nor our families, or our paycheck, or any of these conveniences that we seek in human life. What really sustains us all is dharma, because the source of these other amenities of life is dharma, ultimately. First comes dharma, then comes the artha, then comes kama. That's how it works. So the source of your paycheck, Srila Prabhupada said, is not the source of your maintenance. The source of your maintenance is dharma, religion, duty, your essential nature as a servant of Krishna, to be a servant of Krishna. This is what actually sustains us. Dharmo rakshati rakshati rakshitaha, it is said. He who sustains dharma will find that he is also sustained by dharma. That's how it works. So the ordinary function of Lord Vishnu, and who comes in every age in one form or another, his ordinary function is to sustain the worlds through promulgating dharma. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu coincidentally accepted that purpose, but his real purpose was much more intimate than that. And that's only hinted here in this verse. Lord Chaitanya nourishes and maintains the three worlds by distributing this love of God. And those who are twice initiated, they chant the Gaur Gayatri Mantra, and that's also stated there. He is Vishvambhara. He's providing us with real gold. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that is in the form of this Sankirtana movement, which allows us to awaken this transcendentally blissful, unprecedented love of Godhead that only Krishna can give. In his later pastimes, he is known as Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya. He blesses the whole world by teaching about the name and fame of Lord Krishna. Knowing him, Lord Chaitanya, to be the incarnation for the Kali Yuga, Garga Muni, during the naming ceremony of Krishna, predicted his appearance. This is a quote from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto. Asan varanastrayo hyasya grihnato anuyugam tanuhu shuklo raktas tatha pita idanim krishna tam gataha. This boy Krishna has three other colors, white, red, and yellow. He appears in different ages. Now he has appeared in the transcendental blackish color. This was spoken by Gargamuni in the Dwapar Yuga, when that was the color of the incarnation. But he mentions three other colors, white, red, and yellow. We know who is the white incarnation. Who is that? Huh? Narayana, who did you say? Balaram is also white. Of course, he comes in Dwapar Yuga. There's Shweta Varaha. Whose Rakta is also mentioned here. Rakta Varaha, that's red Varaha. There are two Varaha avatars. So all these colors are clear, but who's yellow? Kapila Dev is white. He's also yellow. I mean, it's... Pitha is a different thing than Gaura. Sometimes Gaura is used. It also means white, but Pita means yellow, and that's Lord Chaitanya. Red, white, and yellow, these three are the bodily lusters of the Lord, the husband of the goddess of fortune, assumes in the ages of Satya, Treta, and Kali, respectively. Now in the Dwapar Yuga, the Lord has descended in a blackish hue. This is the hue. This is the essence of the statements of the Puranas and other Vedic literatures with reference to the context. The religious practice For the age of Kali is to broadcast the glories of the holy name. Only for this purpose has the Lord in yellow color descended as Lord Chaitanya. The luster of his expansive body, which resembles molten gold, the deep sound of his voice conquers the thundering of newly assembled clouds. Who measures 4 cubits in height and breadth by his own hand is celebrated as a great personality. Such a person is called Nyagrodha Parimandala. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who personifies all good qualities, has the body of a Nyagrodha Parimandala. His arms are long enough to reach his knees. His eyes are just like lotus flowers. His nose is like a sesame flower, and his face is as beautiful as the moon. He is peaceful, self-controlled, and fully devoted to the transcendental service of Lord Sri Krishna. He is affectionate toward his devotees, he is gentle, and he is equally disposed toward all living entities. He is decorated with sandalwood bangles and armlets anointed with the pulp of sandalwood. He especially wears these decorations to dance in Sri Krishna Sankirtana. Can you imagine this? Actually, Srila Prabhupada said, devotees of ISKCON should wear ankle bracelets, decorate their foreheads with chandan, and wear bright yellow cloth and garlands when they go on Harinam Sankirtana. It's like, well, that's what Lord Chaitanya did. You put on katak bells on your feet and artistic decorations of sandal pulp like we have on the deities. This is what Prabhupada wanted. And the thin garlands of jasmine flowers. Then you will think the people will see this is coming from Navadvip. Especially if they wear that bright yellow color. Prabhupada actually told one devotee, Govindadasi, his disciple, to always wear that color. He said, Mother Yashoda wears that color. So, he gave her one sari and said, always wear this color. So, recording all these qualities of Lord Chaitanya, the sage Vaishampayana included his name in the Vishnu Sahasranama. The pastimes of Lord Chaitanya have 2 divisions, the early pastimes Adi Lila and later pastimes Shesh Lila. He has 4 names in each of these 2 lilas. And then he's quoting from the Vishnu Sahasranama here. Suvarna Varna Himango Varangas Chandanangadi Sanyasa Krichama Shanto Nishtha Shanti Parayanaha. In his early pastimes, he appears as a householder with golden complexion. His limbs are beautiful, and his body, smeared with the pulp of sandalwood, seems like molten gold. In his later pastimes, he accepts the sannyas order, and he is equipoised and peaceful. He is the highest abode of peace and devotion, for he silences the impersonalist non-devotees. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is repeatedly and clearly said that the essence of religion in the age of Kali is the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. This is, there are 2 verses now quoted from 11th canto. O king, in this way, people in Dwapara Yuga worship the Lord of the universe. In Kali Yuga, they also worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the regulations of the revealed scriptures. Kindly now hear that from me. In the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead who constantly sings the name of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. My dear brothers, please hear all of these glories of Lord Chaitanya. This verse clearly summarizes his activities and characteristics. The 2 syllables Krishna are always in his mouth. He constantly describes Krishna with great pleasure. These are two meanings of the word Krishna Varnam. Indeed, nothing else but Krishna issues from his mouth. If someone tries to describe him as being of blackish complexion, the next adjective, Tvisha Akrishnam, immediately restricts him. His complexion is certainly not blackish. Indeed, his not being blackish indicates that his complexion is yellow. Kaloyam vidvansas putam abhijajayate dyutibharat akrishnangam krishnam makavidhibhirut kirtanamayai upasyam cha prahur yamakhila chaturarthashramajusham satevas chaitanya kritiratitaram nah kripayato. By performing the sacrifice of congregational chanting of the holy name, learned scholars in the age of Kali worship Lord Krishna, who is now non-blackish because of the great upsurge of the feelings of Srimati Radharani. He is the only worshipable deity for the Paramahamsas who have attained the highest stage of the fourth order sannyas. May that supreme personality of Godhead, Lord Chaitanya, show us his causeless mercy. One can vividly see his glowing complexion of molten gold, which dispels the darkness of ignorance. The sinful life of the living beings results from ignorance. To destroy that ignorance, he has brought various weapons, such as his plenary associates, his devotees, and the holy name. The greatest ignorance consists of activities, whether religious or irreligious, that are opposed to devotional service. They are to be known as sins, kalmasha. Very interesting statement, isn't it? He says, even religious activity that is opposed to devotional service to Lord Krishna should be known as sin. Raising his arms, chanting the holy name, and looking upon all with deep love, he drives away all sins and floods everyone with love of God. Another verse, smitaloka shokam harati jagatam yasya parito giram tu prarambha kushala patalim pallavayati padalam bhakam va pranayati nahi prema nivaham sadevas chaitanya krititatitaram na kripayato. May the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestow his causeless mercy upon us. His smiling glance at once drives away all the bereavements of the world, and his very words enliven the auspicious creepers of devotion by expanding their leaves. Taking shelter of his lotus feet invokes transcendental love of God at once. Anyone who looks upon his beautiful body or beautiful face becomes freed from all sins and obtains the wealth of love of God. In other incarnations, the Lord descended with armies and weapons, but in this incarnation, his soldiers are his plenary parts and associates. Sadopasya Sriman Tritam Manujakayai Pranayatam Vahadbhir Girvanayir Girisha Parameshti Prabhratibhi Sabhaktebhyo Shuddham Nijabhajana Mudram Upadishan Sachaitanya Kim Me Punarapi Drishuryasya Bidavam. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is always the most worshipable deity of the demigods, including Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, who came in the garb of ordinary men, bearing love for him. He instructs his own pure devotional service to his own devotees. Will he again be the object of my vision? His plenary parts and associates perform the work of weapons as their own specific duties. Please hear from me another meaning of the word anga. According to the evidence of the revealed scriptures, a bodily limb or anga is also called a part or amsha, and a part of a limb is called a partial part, upanga. Then he quotes from the Srimad Bhagavatam, O Lord of Lords, you are the seer of all creation. You are indeed everyone's dearest life. Are you not therefore my father, Narayana? This is spoken by Lord Brahma. Narayana refers to one whose abode is in the water, born from Nara, Garbhodha Kashayi Vishnu. And that Narayana is your plenary portion. All your plenary portions are transcendental. They are all absolute and are not creations of Maya. The manifestation of the Narayana who predominates in everyone's heart, as well as the Narayana who lies in the water, Karana, Garbha, and Kshira, is your plenary portion. You are therefore the original Narayana. The word Anga refers to ordinary plenary portions. Such manifestations should never be considered products of material nature, for they are all transcendental, full of knowledge and full of bliss. Sri Advaita Prabhu and Sri Nityananda Prabhu are both plenary portions of Lord Chaitanya. Thus, they are the limbs, or the angas, of his body. The parts of these two limbs are called the upangas. Thus, the Lord is equipped with sharp weapons in the forms of his parts and plenary portions. All these weapons are competent enough to crush the faithless atheists. Sri Nityanand Goswami is directly Haladhara, Lord Balaram, and Advaita Acharya is the personality of Godhead himself. These two captains, with their soldiers such as Srivas Thakur, travel everywhere chanting the holy name of the Lord. Lord Nityananda's very features indicate that he is the subduer of the unbelievers. All sins and unbelievers flee from the loud shouts of Advaita Acharya. Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya is the initiator of Sankirtana, congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord. One who worships him through Sankirtana is fortunate indeed. Such a person is truly intelligent, whereas others who have but a poor fund of knowledge must endure a cycle of repeated birth and death. Of all sacrificial performances, the chanting of the Lord's holy name is the most sublime. One who says that 10 million Ashwamedha sacrifices are equal to chanting of the holy name of Lord Krishna is undoubtedly an atheist. He is sure to be punished by Yamaraj. In the auspicious introduction of the Bhagavad Sandarbha, Srila Jiva Goswami has given the following verse as an explanation. Antaha Krishnam Bahir Gauram Darshitangadi Vaibhavam Kalau Sankirtanai Jaisma Krishna Chaitanya Mahashrutaha. I take shelter of Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is outwardly of a fair complexion but is inwardly Krishna himself. In this age of Kali, he displays his expansions, his angas and upangas, by performing congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord. There's a purport here by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Jiva Goswami has placed the verse from Srimad Bhagavatam quoted in text 52, that is Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam, as the auspicious introduction to his Bhagavat Sandarbha, or Shat Sandarbha. He has composed this text, text 81, the one we just read, which is, in effect, an explanation of that Bhagavatam verse, as the second verse of the same work. The verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam was enunciated by Karabhajan, one of the nine great sages, and it is elaborately explained in the Sarvasamvadani, Jiva Goswami's commentary on his own Shat Sandarbha. Antah Krishna refers to one who is always thinking of Krishna. This attitude is a predominant feature of Srimati Radharani. Even though many devotees always think of Krishna, none can surpass the gopis, among whom Radharani is the leader in thinking of Krishna. Radharani's Krishna consciousness surpasses that of all other devotees. Lord Chaitanya accepted the position of Srimati Radharani to understand Krishna. Therefore, he was always thinking of Krishna in the same way as Radharani. By thinking of Krishna, he always overlapped Krishna. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, who was outwardly very fair, with a complexion like molten gold, simultaneously manifested his eternal associates, opulences, expansions, and incarnations. He preached the process of chanting Hare Krishna, and those who are under his lotus feet are glorious. In text 82, in the Upapuranas we hear Sri Krishna showing his mercy to Vyasadeva by speaking to him as follows. O learned Brahman, sometimes I accept the renounced order of life to induce the fallen people of the age of Kali to accept devotional service to the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahabharata, the Puranas, and other Vedic literatures all give evidence to prove that Lord Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the incarnation of Krishna. One can also directly see Lord Chaitanya's manifest influence in his uncommon deeds and uncommon Krishna conscious realization. But faithless believers do not see what is clearly evident, just as owls do not see the rays of the sun. And then he quotes the Stotra-ratna of Yamanacharya in the spiritual master of Ramanujacharya. O my Lord, those influenced by demoniac principles cannot realize you, although you are clearly the supreme by dint of your exalted activities, forms, character, and uncommon power, which are confirmed by all the revealed scriptures in the quality of goodness and the celebrated transcendentalists in the divine nature. Lord Sri Krishna tries to hide himself in various ways, but nevertheless his pure devotees know who he is. O my Lord, everything within the material nature is limited by time, space, and thought. Your characteristics, however, being unequaled and unsurpassed, are always transcendental to such limitations. You sometimes cover such characteristics by your own energy, but nevertheless your unalloyed devotees are always able to see you under all circumstances. This is another verse composed by Yamunacharya in the Stotra Ratna. Those whose nature is demoniac cannot know Krishna at any time, but he cannot hide himself from his pure devotees. Now there's, in the end here, there's due respect shown to Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya Goswami is an incarnation of the Lord as a devotee. His loud calling was the cause for Krishna's incarnation. Whenever Sri Krishna desires to manifest his incarnation on earth, he first creates the incarnations of his respectable predecessors. Thus, respectable personalities such as his father, mother, and spiritual master are all take birth on earth first. Madhavendra Puri, Ishwara Puri, Srimati Shachi Mata, and Sri Jagannath Mishra all appeared with Sri Advaita Acharya. Purport. Whenever the Supreme Personality of Godhead descends in his human form, he sends ahead all of his devotees who act like his father, teacher, and associates in many roles. When such personalities appear before the descent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, before the appearance of Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there appeared his devotees like Sri Madhavendra Puri. His spiritual master, Sri Ishwara Puri, his mother, Srimati Shachi Devi, his father, Sri Jagannath Mishra, and Sri Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya, having appeared, he found the world devoid of devotional service to Sri Krishna because people were engrossed in material affairs. Everyone was engaged in material enjoyment, whether sinfully or virtuously, but no one was interested in the transcendental service of the Lord, which can give total relief from the repetition of birth and death. Seeing the activities of the world, the Acharya felt compassion and began to ponder how he could act for the people's benefit. If Sri Krishna were to appear as an incarnation, he himself could preach devotion by his personal example. In this age of Kali, there is no religion other than the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. But how in this age of Kali will the Lord appear as an incarnation? I shall worship Krishna in a purified state of mind. I shall constantly petition him in humbleness. My name Advaita will be fitting if I am able to induce Krishna to inaugurate the movement of the chanting of the holy name. While he was thinking about how to propitiate Krishna by worship, the following verse came to his mind. Tulasi dala matrena jalasya chulukena va vikrinite swamatmanam bhaktebhyo bhaktavatsalaha. Sri Krishna, who is very affectionate toward his devotees, sells himself to a devotee who merely offers a tulsi leaf and a palm full of water. Advaita Acharya considered the meaning of the verse in this way. Not finding any way to repay the debt he owes to one who offers him a tulsi leaf and water, Lord Krishna thinks, there is no wealth in my possession that is equal to a tulsi leaf and water. Thus, the Lord liquidates the debt by offering his own self to the devotee. Considering this, the Acharya began worshipping the Lord. Thinking of the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, he constantly offered tulsi buds and water from the Ganges. He appealed to Sri Krishna with loud calls and thus made it possible for Krishna to appear. Therefore, the principal reason of Sri Chaitanya's descent is this appeal by Advaita Acharya. The Lord, the protector of religion, appears by the desire of the devotee. And now there's a quote from Srimad Bhagavatam, famous verse in the third canto. Tvam bhakti yogi paribhavita sratsaroj ase shrute kshita patho nunupa natha pungsam yad yad dhyata urugaya vibhavayanti tad tad vapu pranayase saranugrahaya. O my Lord, you always dwell in the vision and hearing of your pure devotees. You also live in their lotus-like hearts, which are purified by devotional service. O my Lord, who are glorified by exalted prayers, you show special favor to your devotees by manifesting yourself in the eternal forms in which they welcome you. The essence of the meaning of this verse is that Lord Krishna appears in all of his innumerable eternal forms because of the desires of his pure devotees. Thus I have surely determined the meaning of the fourth verse. Lord Gauranga, Lord Chaitanya, appeared as an incarnation to preach unalloyed love of God. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, describing the causes for the descent of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Anyone have any questions or comments on this? Uddhava Prabhu?
Yeah, there was that one verse where you were saying where Krishna, he's pondering that people, they mostly worship him with awe and veneration, and that they don't understand the love of, the infinite love of Vrindavan. Now, in Kali Yuga, people, they're so fallen, they practically don't even do that. And was he also referring to other religions like Christianity and Muslims, considering the timing of that? Or was it, or is the timing, is it just on another level that it's hard for me to understand?
Well, it seems pretty generally true that most religions, at least those that we know of that have manifested in this Kali Yuga, for what that's worth, they also emphasize this generic dasya, generic servitude, in which awe and veneration are a very prominent part. Almost every religion in the world actually has that. Krishna consciousness is unique in that it has this much more intimate understanding, personal understanding of God. We know his name, we know where he lives, we know who his friends are, we know what he does all day long, we know what he likes to eat, we know everything that he's doing. And we have so many descriptions of his activities that we can recollect and develop love by doing so. This is unique. So I don't think it's really a question of time as much as, the material world, you have to understand, is meant for those who are rebellious and conditioned by Maya. Those who are, this is the prison house of the Lord's creation. It's the dusty corner of the Lord's creation where the riffraff comes. You see? So some very few can be redeemed from that, and we see that that's the case. Very few are actually able to appreciate this high level of theological understanding. It seems to me to, I would say, it's a general tendency in humankind. Very few people are even inclined towards spiritual life, and of those who are inclined towards spiritual life, very few are attracted to the personal feature, and of those who are attracted to the personal feature, very few actually become perfect. This is what Krishna implies as much in Bhagavad Gita as well. Munushyanam sahasreshu, etc. One in a million, literally. So I think it's more of that than anything chronological. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah. And did you mention when Lord Chaitanya doesn't appear, then we're talking about the incarnation for this age. Now, is the incarnation for this age, when Lord Chaitanya doesn't appear, is that just the holy name itself? Because don't they say that, isn't it stated that there is no incarnation for this age?
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. But someone is coming and teaching this Sankirtan. That's the verse that he quoted from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna Varnam Trisha Krishnam Sango Pangasar Parshadam Yagai Sankirtanai Prayer. Someone is doing that. So it's not always Lord Chaitanya, but someone is doing it. Some other incarnation. What kind of incarnation? Who exactly? What is his name? What is his appearance? That I'm not sure. Anyone else have anything to say, add to this?
Okay, another question.
Mm-hmm.
It is also mentioned that those who don't accept Lord Chaitanya are considered, I don't know if they say, if it is mentioned, demons, I'm not sure. How do we understand people like Madhvas and Amarijas, they're really devoted to Lord Vishnu and mm-hmm. some of them don't have any, don't know about Lord Chaitanya. Is it, how do you reconcile the statement?
We reconcile these statements by very carefully studying Srila Prabhupada's purports on them. And sometimes Srila Prabhupada is non-committal or sometimes even ambiguous. There are two ways to interpret these kinds of statements which do appear. If you read, for example, Chaitanya Chandramrita of Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur, he'll say things like, who cares about Varaha? What did Ramachandra ever do for this world? Which appears to be blasphemy. So one way to understand these statements is that it's an effusive eruption of ecstasy in the author, and his personal sentiment is overshadowing Siddhanta, and is not intended to be taken as a theological conclusion or a philosophical conclusion. That's one way to look at it. Another way to look at it is, as I think the approach that you're implying, is that, you know, we have to try to find some way to reconcile the fact that we know that there are many different kinds of religions, there are many different kinds of devotees, even within the scope of Vaishnavism. There are four sampradayas that are bona fide, and they have slightly different approaches, and they teach slightly different things. They're all bona fide, though. They're all to be respected, so much so that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada's own spiritual master, erected a temple to the four sampradaya acharyas in Mayapur, and he worships all of them there. So, you know, without having recently read that purport to the verse that you're mentioning in particular, I wouldn't want to comment more than that. But as always, we go to the Guru and find what Srila Prabhupada has written on those things, and then we can apply mimamsa. Mimamsa means discrimination, consideration of all the subtleties involved. Is that okay? Anything else?
That's not a problem.
Definitely. In other words, there is no slight if a practitioner of bhakti doesn't quite understand the Siddhanta, the Guru. There is no that damnation. He just gets some minuscule understanding, and he should be sufficient for that.
Well, for one thing, I think that's a very different question than Gornataraj is asking. And if you're aware of that, then I can answer it accordingly. And within the question that I think you're asking, there are also two considerations. One, that a person may be a bona fide disciple of a bona fide guru, but just not have very much realization, or not really fully understand even his own guru. And I think that that's normal. I mean, we all have to begin from somewhere, don't we? And it's not expected that we really have a very profound or deep appreciation or realization of our spiritual master's teachings, and certainly his internal identity, things of that nature. I don't think that a person is condemned as a result of that. And then, so that's one thing. And then the second thing is that we also don't want to have the attitude that my guru is better than your guru, because that turns into politics. And these are the things out of which governments are made and broken, especially in India. So, You know, between the devotees of different sampradayas, there is mutual respect, and even within a single sampradaya, there may be differences of opinion. That's what scholarly opinion is respected for that reason. That if it is logically consistent and upheld by the statements of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, then, you know, that can be accepted as bona fide. Not that, you know, if you don't believe my particular brand of religion, then I'm going to kill you. That is tamasic religion. Religion in the mode of ignorance. And we do see that sometimes in pretty much in every religion. The ecumenical approach, the interfaith approach, tells us that, you know, if someone doesn't really understand another person's religion or appreciate the truth in another person's religion, he probably doesn't appreciate the truth in his own religion either. So I think the same thing goes for a disciple of a particular guru. I don't know that it means he's going to hell just because he doesn't have a full understanding, but it all depends. He might. There are reasons for everything. And if a person is envious, then it may very well be. He may not be very long in devotional service. We've already discussed that, you know, out of the millions who attempt spiritual life, or of the less than millions who come to Krishna consciousness, not everybody makes it. Very few of them actually make it all the way there. And there are reasons for all that. So sometimes a person is just really not interested. And once he realizes that I'm not really interested in pure devotional service, then he packs up and moves out, moves on, and tries out something else. So that person may indeed be going to hell. It depends on what he's doing. But we can't, you know, can't make blanket statements. They're usually dubious. So, is that what you're asking? So that's what I can say about that. Anything else? Yes.
You mentioned that, I don't know if I understood you correct, but you mentioned at the beginning of the lecture that the Vatsalya Rasa, the Krishna taking birth as a child, is not in the spiritual world,
right,
in the material world. That means, but Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj is an eternal past, and that's in the spiritual world, right?
Yeah, there.
But he's not taking birth there.
That's right.
And no Bala Lila either. So in the Aprakat Lila in Goloka Vrindavan, the Lord's pastimes are all happening on the Lord's form is fixed in the Kaishora Rupa, which is his original supreme form, the young teenage form, like we have on the altar here, Kalachandri. That is the essential form. That is his Swayam Bhagavan's Sarup. And that's what we find in Goloka Vrindavan. And the pastimes appropriate to that form are manifest there in Goloka Vrindavan. Other pastimes that are incidental or relative to the Lord's appearance in his Kaumara age or even his Paugandha age, they occur in this material world as the Prakata Lila here in this material world only. And that's one of the special features. Depending on one's own inclination in Krishna consciousness, he may actually prefer that. And Kavi Karnapur therefore says that the Lord's pastimes in this prakat, in the material world, are considered to be superior. Because everything is there. There is a sense of demons in the spiritual world, and there is a sense of the Lord's childhood, but it's not manifest. It's not tangibly manifest there. It's only there in terms of this concept. And that's hard for us to understand. But in this material world, everything is prakata. Everything is tangibly manifest. So that's actually a very appealing thing. There are many forms of the Lord that only appear in this material world. Srila Prabhupada used to talk, just like if you go to South India, you have so many Sri Rangam, Anantashayana Swami in Padmanabhapuram, in Trivandrum, in Kerala. They have so many Mahavishnu deities, but Prabhupada said that those devotees, they do not go back to Godhead because that form is not there in the spiritual world. It's only there in the material world. with the possible exception of Shvetadvip, which is like the spiritual planet within this, you know, spiritual embassy within this material universe. But there are many forms of the Lord that are only in this material world and not in the spiritual world.
It's not there in the spiritual world.
The Bali-lila in general is not manifest in the spiritual world. It's in their minds. What do you think? Yeah, this has been an important thing to consider. Govindi, you had a question? You'll have to speak up. You know, at the moment I don't remember myself, but I would look in the Sandarbhas first. I would guess. I don't remember the reference now. But I'm thinking probably in the Sandarbhas, maybe in the Loga Bhagavatamritam also. I'll check that out, and I can tell you later. I heard it from Tamal Krishna Goswami. So I know, you know, he's not going to accept anything that's not corroborated. So, anything else? Okay, so we can stop here. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Shri Gaura Parimala Mahotsav Ki Jai.